Yesterday USA Superstation. Official voice of the National Museum of Communications.
I told you I was killing time, didn't I?
Well, what's the idea?
We ain't going to be needed.
Huh?
We ain't going to be here now.
What do you mean, Slasher?
Mike, we're breaking out of this can tomorrow.
All right. Bring it up. Here we are.
Mike, you got it all straight now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, we better go over it once more because that truck's going to be ready in a minute.
Okay. We walk over easy, like so we're near the gate.
Like we're doing now?
Yeah, like we're doing now. Huh? Then we edge up to that delivery truck.
Right.
We wait till the driver starts the truck.
Check.
Then when they open the gate and the truck starts, we jump on the driver's chair. We slug the driver, step on the gas, and that's all there is.
Hey, Mike.
What?
You guys want to play ball?
No.
Come on, we're going to play ball.
We want to play.
Well, we got seven guys.
Will you? Come on, Mike.
That truck's getting on the way. They're opening the gate.
Yeah,
come on. He's heading for the gate now.
So are we.
Grab him, Mike.
Hey, get off this truck.
Yeah. Let's go, Mike.
Back. Stop those guys. I'm making a play. Stop those guys.
We're going to make it. We're going to make it.
Mike, what's the matter?
Well, I'm afraid this is where you get off, kid. I'm not carrying any extra freight.
Hey, Slasher, what are you doing?
I'm getting rid of you, Mike.
Oh, no,
I'm
no.
Sorry, kid. It's got to be done.
Oh, Slasher!
Hold that door, just stick up.
What?
Hold it.
Just a minute. Let me out of here.
No, you don't, brother. I want that bag you carry.
No.
Give
no.
me that bag. Now, if you're so smart, I'm going to give you something to remember me by.
Put away that knife.
Oh, no. No.
Just for trying to run away with that payroll, sissy, you're going to get a souvenir from this Slasher. That's what you get, copper, for trying to put the cuffs on a Slasher.
I tell you, Cranston, that guy's made a complete monkey out of me and the entire department.
Yes, so I've adjusted
him. Have you uncovered any trace of him at all?
No, Margot. And I'm honest enough to say that I don't expect to.
You mean you're admitting defeat?
No, but I've had dealings in the past with Slasher Evans. I spent almost 5 years trying to catch him last time.
Only to see him break out again.
Yeah.
Well, to what do you attribute his elusive powers, Commissioner?
Well, he's smart. Plenty smart. I gather from his background that he came from a rather decent family. Even had a college education.
Does that qualify him to be a master criminal?
Oh, but it helps. It helps. Gives him a greater field to work in. See, the guy can get in any place. He'll do one job in a silk hat and tails, and the next in overalls. One victim will describe him as a mug, the next as a high-toned gentleman.
But why is he so difficult to catch, Commissioner?
Well, first, because he always works alone.
Yes, I understand.
And second, whenever the boy makes a good score and makes five or six big holes in a row, he disappears.
You mean he just retired?
Yeah, that's it. And whenever the dough runs out, why, he starts operating again.
It's a good system.
Yeah. Not for me, it ain't.
How much did he get on his recent rampage?
Too much. That's why I don't think I'll ever find him. His last jobs have brought him over $400,000, all in cash.
Well, that's enough to retire for life.
Yeah, even for a guy like Schleicher Evans. Mr. Weston speaking.
Yes.
Huh? His brother. Say, is it the rent? See? Yeah, I'd be glad to come over. Just give me your address. Hotel Grand. Yeah, thanks. Right away. Goodbye. Say, maybe I'm getting a break.
How's that?
A man on that phone just told me he was Schleicher Evans' brother.
Really?
Yes, he just came in this morning from the West Indies. Said that he'd heard his brother escaped and that he had some information about him that might help me to find him.
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on, Commissioner. Perhaps Mr. Schleicher Evans isn't as elusive as you think.
Perhaps you all think it unusual that a man should be willing to give information that might result in the imprisonment of his own brother, but... Well, I have very good reason to do so.
Why?
My brother has always hated our family. And just as long as he is out of prison, our future, in fact, our very lives are in danger.
How did you learn of your brother's escape, Scott?
Well, I was at my home in Trinidad. I heard it on a radio broadcast.
Is the family name Carlton or Evans?
Carlton. The Evans is an alias.
Well, just what is this information you have for us, Mr. Carlton?
Well, it's probably a shot in the dark, but I have an idea where my brother might be hiding.
Yeah? Where?
In a small town in Louisiana.
What would he be doing down there?
Well, you see, when we were children, we had a nursemaid, a Creole. She was very fond of my brother. After we grew up, she returned to a Louisiana home.
So?
So I know for certain that in the past, my brother has found refuge there. I think if you were to send one of your men down there, Commissioner, you might turn up something.
Well, that isn't exactly a red-hot lead, Mr. Carlton.
I disagree with you, Commissioner. I think it's a very excellent lead.
Well...
In fact, if you don't wish to send a detective, I'd be willing to investigate it myself.
Okay. Okay, Grant.
I think I should warn you, Mr. Cranston, that if you do encounter my brother, be extremely careful. When he's cornered, he displays a talent with a knife that is found in his nickname. Thank you.
Oh. Thanks for the warning.
I might also add that none of us in the family would grieve if you brought back word that my brother was dead.
That must be the house, Margo. Right ahead.
Do you think anyone lives in that place?
Oh, Mrs. Labatt, the nursemaid does, according to the man in the village.
Should we walk across the yard or swim?
I'm sorry to brush you out in weather like this, Martha.
Oh, stop. Lamont, do you really think we'll find the Slasher here?
We might. But don't worry, Margo. I'm prepared for it.
Now, we'd better let Mrs. Labatt know we're here.
What you want, huh?
Are you Mrs. LeBar?
Oui. Who are you?
This is Miss Lane. I'm Lamont Cranston.
I have never heard of you.
Well, we've heard of you, Mrs. LeBar. We'd like to talk to you.
How have you heard of me? From who?
From John Cobb.
Oh. Oh, come in.
Thanks. Will you go in, Margo?
Thanks. In here. And now you will sit here, please.
Thank you.
Out of the room, Felice, go.
Oh, what a beautiful cat.
You did not come here to admire my cat. Now you please get to the reason for your visit.
Well, we were sent here by John Cobb.
You have already told me that. Felice, you get away from that woman. You leave her alone.
Oh, that's all right. You're just rubbing against me. Seems like
him. He is a deceptive animal, Nancy. First, he give you her affection. Slash you with the claws.
Oh? Perhaps she learned that trait from someone else.
Who do you mean?
The man who calls himself the Slasher.
The Slasher?
Yes, he's better known to you as John Carlton's brother.
I don't know what you talk about.
I think you do.
You come here to question me, does it?
I am seeking information, Mrs. LeBard.
I also get no information here. I am not enjoying you or your conversation, Mr. Cranston. I must ask you both to leave.
Now, just a minute, Mrs.
You hear what I said. Here you leave. You leave at once. Who is there? Who is it in this house? Huh. And you? Why are you here? Is something wrong?
What's the matter with it?
Oh, it's not the problem. I need that letter for me. Oh, give it to me. You need this. You people, why are you still here, eh? You get out of my house for the last time, I tell you.
Very well, Mrs. LeBard. We're leaving. Come along, Margo.
Righto.
Perhaps you'll give us the information we desire some other time.
There will be no other time. Yes. Well, what do you know?
That message, Margo. I'm sure it was from the Flasher.
Really?
Yes. And that man, Emil, must know where he's hiding.
Possible, Lamont.
I think it's time for the Shadow to enter this case, Margo. To trace our friend the Slasher to his hideout. You see, sir, we thought the best place to get our information would be from the chief of police.
Yes, of course. Now, who is it you're seeking? What's his name?
His name is Emil.
And his last name?
I'm afraid we don't know it.
Well, we have many Emils in the parish. If you don't know the last name, I don't think that I'll...
Perhaps the description would help.
Well, yes, it would.
Well, he's short, heavy set, and has lost the power of speech.
Oh, Emil Blondo. That's who you mean.
Emil Blondo, eh? Now, what can you tell us about him?
Well, I can tell you plenty. That man has caused us much trouble in his day. Much trouble.
How?
Until his accident several years ago, he was a member of one of the worst murderous gangs of smugglers and rum runners that I've ever encountered.
Oh, I see. What was this accident?
He was shot in a gang fight. The bullet penetrated his brain, robbed him of his memory and his power of speech.
And since that time?
Well, he's been little more than an imbecile. Living in a shack somewhere among the bayous.
Well, where is the shack?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've never bothered to find out. People seldom venture into the bayous, even the police.
Oh, then you have no idea where he lives?
No, but you might watch for him in the village.
I see. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Not at all, sir. Sorry, I can't be more helpful.
Well, that's all right. Come on, Mama.
Good day, sir.
Goodbye.
Good day.
Well, it was a dead-end street.
Yes. I guess we'll have to find out about Emil from our Mrs. LeBart. And that, Margo, is going to be a job for the Shadow.
What's wrong with you, Felice? Why you act so strange, huh? What was that, too, lad?
I trust that you'll pardon this intrusion, Mrs. LeBart.
See no one, yet someone spoke.
Yes. Yes, Mrs. LeBart. I spoke.
Who are you? Where are you?
I'm standing right here beside you, in the shadows. You shall know me by that name.
I shall know you by that name, a shadow.
Yes.
To come again. Again, I am hearing voices. Let's pull myself together.
Do not be alarmed, Mrs. LeBart. The voice that you hear is a friendly one.
Why has this happened?
I wish to talk to you. Talk to you about your life long ago.
Very well, very well.
I want to talk in particular about a young boy named Carlton.
Everett Carlton?
Yes. You were very fond of that boy, weren't you?
But of course, he was a darling boy.
Your affection for him was so great that you have even forgiven the mistakes he made.
Yes.
You have sheltered him here in the past when he's come to you in trouble, haven't you?
I have. He needed my help.
And now you're giving him that help again.
Yes.
Where is he now? Where is Everett Carlton, Mrs. LeBart?
I not know.
But you heard from him. You know that he's near.
Oui, but I do not know where.
Then it's Emil who knows his hiding place, is that it?
Emil? Oui, Emil know.
And where can Emil be found?
At his shack.
Where is that?
In the bayous, at the point where two rivers meet.
Are you certain that you're telling me the truth?
Yes. Emil, what is wrong? Wait. Oh, you sent someone in this room, Miss Harley. Speaking of someone.
Yes, she sees me, Mrs. Labonte.
Ah, then you are not a voice. You are human. A flesh and blood being who has tricked me into revealing forbidden secrets.
I did not employ any tricks, Mrs. Labonte.
If I could see you, I would steal you or crash you to pieces.
Just as your Everett Carlton might do, as he has done in the name of Slicer Evans.
I not know what you mean. None of what I told you before was true to you. I hear none of it.
There is only one way to prove that, Mrs. Labonte.
How?
By paying a visit to the shack of Emil Blondeau.
Quietly, Margot. Our friend Emil mustn't hear us approach.
I know. Do you think Mrs. Labonte could have warned Emil about coming?
She hasn't had time, Margot.
God, does it ever stop raining in this country?
Well, those trees are so heavy overhead. It could have stopped 4 days ago, and they'd still be dripping.
What was that?
Some sort of wild animal. Briars are full of them. And that includes the human variety.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Oh, look, Margot. That must be the shack, too.
That mass of tumble-down boards?
Yes. You'd better wait here for me.
Why?
I don't particularly trust our friend Emil. He was a killer even before that bullet lodged in his brain. Now with his mind warped, there's no telling what he might do.
Well, I'd still rather go with you, Lamont, and wait alone here in this desolate place.
All right, very well. Come along. Our best approach is to enter quickly and surprise him.
That's all right.
Okay. Let's go.
Just a moment. Stay where you are. Now, don't be alarmed. We're not going to harm you. We're your friends.
Yes, we've come to help you. We were sent here by Mrs. Labonte.
You remember us, don't you? We were present last night when you delivered that note to Mrs. Labonte. We are aware of the contents of that note. We've come in answer to it.
Is the Slasher in trouble? Is something wrong with him? Just nod your head yes or no.
That nod must mean yes.
Is he sick? Very sick? Then you must take us to him at once. Can you do that? Good. Come along, Margo. Our long trail is nearing an end.
Lamont, have you any idea where this thing is taking us?
No. We'll just have to put our trust in Emil.
Do you suppose that he really is leading us to the Slasher's hideout?
There's no way of telling.
We're practically at his mercy at this point, aren't we?
Yes. We just have to hope that he believed our story.
Lamont, why do you keep looking behind us?
To keep an eye on Emil. A bullet in the back could be most uncomfortable.
You think he might try to kill us?
I'm not taking any chances.
How can he even see when he's talking to me?
He knows his country very well.
If he might have a look hanging on the tree like a white shroud.
Oh.
He would give me the creeps.
That won't bother you much longer, Martha.
Why, do you think we're getting out of it?
No, but you won't see it. It'll soon be night.
Oh, that's good.
Say, you're stopping the boat. We must be getting...
Look, Lamont, right ahead. A tiny clock standing on the floor.
Yes. I guess we've reached our destination. Hey, grab hold of that dock, Margo. Look, Emil is motioning for us to get out. Here, give me a hand, Margo.
Yeah.
There we are. Now, Emil, would you lead the way?
Lamont, I don't like that grin on his face. Look. You see? There's someone lying on that cot.
Yes.
Is he sleeping?
I don't know. There's a candle on that table. Would you light it, Margo? I want to keep my eye on our two friends.
Yes, all right. Here you are.
Thank you.
His eyes are closed. His face is chalk white. Lamont, do you suppose we're too late?
No, he's still breathing. Look at the face, Margo. He's coughing, all right. Or I should say, Slicer Evans. Same nose, same broad forehead. Except for that long scar on his face and the red beard, this man could almost be John Carlton himself.
Look, he's dead. It's Aldo.
What is this?
Stay where you are, Sasha.
Who are you? How'd you get here? Oh, I said this is your work, Emil. You brought him here. You're giving away my name, my hiding place. Well, nobody's going to get me.
Look out, Lamont!
Give me that gun.
And I've been free in life, and I'm going to be free in death.
Oh, the candle, he's knocked it over.
Sasha, you'll never get me, never.
Look, he's running out the door.
Come back here, Evan.
Right, come on, Margo. He's not getting away.
Jerry is running along the bank of the river.
Yes. You might as well give up, Thrasher. You're not going to lose us.
Look out, Lamont. He's going to shoot.
Margo, down quick. You can play your game, Thrasher.
Well, no fool of yours will ever get me.
Lamont is putting the gun in his head. He's going to shoot.
Thrasher! Thrasher!
Oh.
It was his only way out, Margo. His body's fallen into the river. So I guess our job is done. That's the end of Thrasher Evans.
I'm very glad for you, Miss Lane, and Mr. Weston, for coming here to my apartment with your information about Thrasher Evans.
That's all right, Mr. Carlton. Incidentally, Lamont will be here in a few minutes.
Oh, so the old boy's late again, huh?
I hope he's not too tardy, Commissioner. I'm very anxious to hear more about his encounter with my brother.
Well, I'll let Lamont tell you that when he arrives.
But you're sure that he did?
Oh, yes.
Well, did you hear that, Commissioner? I guess that's proof enough that you've heard the last of Thrasher Evans.
Yeah.
What was that?
Shadow.
Yes. But
why,
Shadow?
Why are you here?
I am here, Commissioner, to contradict a statement that was just made by that young woman.
What do you mean?
I mean that Thrasher Evans is not dead.
Not dead?
He is very much alive.
What?
Yes. He's in this city. In fact, Commissioner, he's in this very room.
Who is speaking? Where is his voice coming from?
I am the Shadow, Mr. Carlton. And I'm quite sure that you've heard of me.
How?
From your fellow criminals.
What are you driving at, Shadow?
I'm trying to tell you, Commissioner, that this man is Thrasher Evans.
That's ridiculous.
Not at all, Mr. Carlton. Or I should say, Thrasher. I've investigated you quite thoroughly. And I learned some very interesting facts.
Yes, what were they?
I've been in touch with the authorities in Trinidad, Mr. Carlton's residence. And they told me that he had been away for 5 years, had just returned recently. That was the length of your stay in prison, wasn't it, Slicer?
Don't be fooled by this voice, Commissioner.
Quiet, Shadow. Go on, Shadow.
I've also inquired into your financial background. And I found that although you have no means of support, no income, you still have lived lavishly.
But why, if he's a Slicer, did he send us on his own trail?
Because he wanted it that way. He left an easy trail leading to the Thrasher's hideout so that someone could bring back definite proof that he was dead.
Yes. Yes, that could have been his plan.
You see, with the Thrasher legally dead, John Carlton can live respectably for the rest of his life. Or at least until the money that he gained by his criminal activities is gone.
But how could he be here and in Louisiana at the same time?
It takes very little time for a plane to reach Louisiana, Commissioner. And it took very little theatrical makeup to change his face and fool this young woman and her companion.
You're pretty smart, aren't you, Mr. Shadow? But not quite smart enough.
Look out, Margo.
Let go of me.
Take your hands off that girl, Thrasher.
This game is going to be my ace in the hole, see? It's going to be my shield till I get out of here.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'll get away.
This sort of persuades you not to sit there.
Put away that knife.
Yeah, I think you know what that means, Commissioner. I warned you a long time ago that the Thrasher always uses his blade when he's cornered.
Well, you're not using it on me.
Listen, sister. I usually just slash my victim's face. But if you don't do as I say, I'm going to change my technique for you and bury this blade in your house.
No.
What happened to the Shadow? Where's all his talk now? I thought he was yellow. The minute I slashed his knife, he stepped out of the picture. Didn't you, Shadow? He ain't even here.
Now listen to me, Thrasher.
You listen to me. I'm getting out of here, see? And if you make one move in my direction, I'll slash this thing to bits.
You wasn't there.
No!
Here it goes.
No, you talk.
Let go of my head. Let go.
Drop that knife like a comet.
Where are you? Stand where you are, Thrasher.
Stand where I am, eh?
Don't even come to the first coming, Thrasher. Yes, Commissioner. And I think you can write a finish to the career of Thrasher Evans. The man who lived twice failed in his third attempt.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. The characters, names, places, and plots are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Does not pay. The shadow knows.